their neighbors. And welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 183, and it's January the 9th, year 2007. Good to have you with us today. We're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studios in Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. And we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind, for about an hour. And our hosts for the show today
are...
Young Don Shaw, of course.
Well, Thomas, man, it's been a while since we've done this show.
I almost forgot the name of the show.
Yeah, no kidding.
I had to really think about it. I really did.
Yeah.
Our boy Pat, he's kind of on assignment today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what a deal.
Anyway, my name's Tom Houston, but here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the first introduction of the year 2007, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show.
Thank you so much.
Phil Parr.
Well, man, it just seems like forever since we've gathered around the microphones, friends.
It really does.
And done our little show. The holidays are over. Christmas is gone. New Year's is here. It's 2007. Good God, everybody.
Right.
Doesn't seem like it possible, does it, dear?
It does.
It'd be 2007. Doesn't it, me?
It's just unreal.
I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday. Yes, friends. We hope you did.
Well, I'm glad it's a done deal.
I'm glad it's a done deal.
Oh, myself. I'm so glad it's over.
Man, we had so much candy. You wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
The table was just covered with, you know, little, well, I ate the last of Mary Shaw's fudge today.
It was good, too.
Man, it was good fudge. I ate the last of your wife's fudge. I didn't want any more of it.
Don't want that fudge.
But it was good, and I ate the last of it today. I got to thinking, Rex, it's got any milk in it. It's been about a month, hasn't it?
How long has it been? A while, yeah.
But, man, we had pecan rolls and pralines and peanut brittle and...
Peanut brittle. That's something I haven't eaten in a while that I like. It's, you know, good peanut brittle.
Let's see. Somebody brought some by the office, and I've been thinking it's almost Girl Scout cookie time.
It's getting close.
Won't be long till it's thin, till we have thin mint.
Thin mint time.
My wife made a peppermint pie.
A peppermint pie.
And it's pretty interesting, because I unwrapped probably 100 peppermints, and then she put them in a sock and beat them with a hammer to make peppermint powder. Looks like you could buy that online or something.
Seems like it.
But anyway, they were good. Peppermint pies, and we had minced meat pies. We had Greenberg turkeys.
Greenberg turkey, man. Now it's a great thing. One of the highlights of a holiday.
Greenberg turkey was mighty fine.
Did you keep track of your weight through all this?
I haven't weighed since the holidays. I hadn't had the nerve to weigh since the holidays. But poor Luanna was going to quit smoking, but she didn't make it.
Well,
she gave it a try, but she didn't. She didn't make it.
I think a lot of folks quit.
I've quit. Shaw's quit. It's hard.
I've quit. Mm-hmm. Finally. That's the only decent thing I did in 2006 was quit smoking.
Yeah, a lot of folks talk about that on New Year's, trying to do the big quit.
My brother-in-law was going to quit, and he didn't make it.
Man.
So we went over to Leonard Peterson's on New Year's Eve and fried deer meat. I tell you what we did. And anybody can do this. We went to Sam's, and everybody has a Sam's reasonably close to them.
Oh, yeah.
And we bought some... prime steaks. This stuff was $14 a pound.
Oh, my goodness.
Like prime ribs
and
steak?
It is some of the best steak I have ever had in my life, bar none.
I want you to know, I looked at that at Sam's, and my goodness, it does look good.
You didn't buy any?
No.
How'd y'all cook it?
We cooked it on a gas grill and cooked them just the way you and I like them, medium rare.
Mm. Wow.
And, son, it was some of the best steak I've ever had.
I bet you.
You owe that to yourself, Tommy.
I guarantee you it looked good.
As much as you like medium rare steak, you need to go.
I bet it was fine.
That is a fine cut of meat, I guarantee you.
I don't know what it was, but, it was so good. I think we bought 12 of them. There was going to be 12 of us there. I think we bought 12 of them, and there were two left, and so I had some the next day.
Wow.
Two folks, I guess, didn't like them. Shelly, Scott's wife, says the best steak she'd ever had in her life.
I'm sure. I'm pretty sure Don Patterson was one of the guests that did not eat one of those.
Well, we didn't. We invited him, but he didn't come till after 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
He didn't come until after 8 o'clock. We didn't figure he'd like the steak thing, so we just told him not to show up till late.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have eaten one anyway.
Oh, no.
But Leonard's got this gas grill with a deal over the burner where you don't get grease on, doesn't drip down on the burner.
Really?
Boy.
I may have to have one. I looked at it pretty extensively. I may have to go to Home Depot or Lowe's and buy one.
Some type of cover. That is the problem with most gas grills.
Is it dripping down on the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Flaring up.
All right. I guess we ought to answer that first question of 2007.
Yeah.
Well, we have a sink trap question. It says, I want to open the trap under the bathroom sink.
Yeah.
It looks to have a plug of some sort at the very bottom.
Yeah.
It's about the size of a quarter, and it has a small tab on each side.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that comes off, and if so, how do you remove it? I don't want to break those tabs.
Well, don't remove it. Just take the trap off. Just take the trap off it, because that's not going. That may work. That may help. I seem like I saw one of those.
Yeah, I've seen that before. We do have a response on this question, but the thing is, I'm like you, for no more expensive than a new trap is. You know, why not just...
Take the trap off. If you can't clean it out the first two or three times you try, go somewhere and buy a new one and stick it on there. Don't worry about it. They're not very expensive.
They're not very expensive.
And easy to put on. They make thumb-tight things now that put them, hold them on.
Oh, man. Plumbing's a whole new ballgame these days compared to the old days. It's really a lot easier.
And what was the answer on
Anyway, let me read this response from Dale. And he says there's probably a specific tool for the job. But all I have ever used is a vice grip or even a bar held between those little pegs to remove the plug. Keep a bucket under the trap. You will likely get about a cup of disgusting effluent come out of there.
Yeah.
There should be a little rubber washer. Try not to lose it. It makes a difference. Hope this helps. Dale Levins.
Dale Levins.
Cochrane, Ontario, Canada.
I would just buy new ones.
And hope that little, I was going to say that little washer hasn't been on there for too many years and has disintegrated or something would be a real.
Because that will happen. And I would just go to the hardware store if you've got a way to do it and get your new trap and put it on. Or take the old trap off and stick a coat hanger down in there and see if you can work it around and clean it out. My friend Charlie Myers, you know Charlie. You all know Charlie Myers. Right?
Yeah.
Charlie and Leonard were working on the sink, and there's a bucket under the sink, and it about three quarters full, so Charlie just reached up and dumped it in the sink.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Yeah.
That didn't. Yeah, but you're going to get some disgusting effluvium from your trap. Effluvium. There's a good word you don't get to work into your conversation very often.
Yeah.
Disgusting effluvium from your trap. Dale Levins is right. Do you know Dale Levins is thinking about moving to Lufkin?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a fine deal?
He's talking serious about it. He got some information on house prices in Lufkin. I told him we just have to have a fifth chair.
Another person to do the show with us. Wouldn't that be a deal?
Just put him over there to my left.
My goodness gracious.
Man.
Heck, he's done everything in the world.
I've
never seen anything on the list that he couldn't respond to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and had a pretty good
just,
response, as a matter of fact.
They'd still need us old guys who hadn't done much of it.
I guess so.
I hear that he's got a problem with turning knobs that are not supposed to be turned.
Yeah, he thinks he's
pulling handles.
Alarms and things.
Gets a drink and he thinks he's a fireman.
Well, that's what the deal is.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
I'd heard that. But anyway, other than that. All right,
I've got a little deal here about Woodworking for the Blind.
All right, let's do it. Let's read it.
Woodworking for the Blind Incorporated. It now provides free digital MP3 compact disc recordings of current woodworking publications exclusively for the use of blind and visually impaired woodworkers.
Yeah.
Voice recordings of Fine Woodworking Magazine, Woodwork Magazine, Woodsmith Magazine, Woodworking Magazine, and American Woodworker Magazine.
Really?
Are available as CDs in MP3 format.
That's cool now.
Shortly after the current issues of the magazines become available. All recordings include the full text of woodworking articles on techniques and design, how to build it articles, tips, tool reviews, shop methods, finishing advice, woodworker profiles, and other general features. Recordings include general descriptions of the many photos, illustrations, and plans that accompany the magazine articles. Recordings can be sent only to members. Membership is free. It's open to all print disabled persons who are blind, visually impaired, or physically handicapped to read normal printed material as a result of such disability.
All right.
Just review the membership requirements and complete the membership application. Mail it to us. CDs will be mailed to members in the United States, Canada, and the UK as free matter for the blind and handicapped.
Okay.
CDs will be mailed as regular mail to members in other countries, but recordings are available only in English. For more information, here we go. Woodworking for the Blind, 21585 Sylvander, that's Sylvander Drive, Deer Park, Illinois, 60010, or do a Google search for a website.
Which may or may not be there. I added a little note about the web search at the end because all this information came across the handyman list except for no website information. Just not sure what the website may be, if they have one, but if they don't, you could write at the address you gave and they would probably send you the application.
Okay, so this was on the handyman list.
It sure was, yeah. It came across the list.
Okay. Well, we need to get a hold of this guy and have him on the show, I guess, don't we?
Yeah, it'd help him promote the magazine some would be a good deal.
Now, the address, once again, ladies and gentlemen, is Woodworking for the Blind. It's 21585 Sylvander Drive, Deer Park, Illinois.
Give a spelling for that.
Sylvander, Sylvander Drive, Deer Park, Illinois. 60010.
All right.
Does not give a phone number, does it?
No phone number.
So what he's going to do? He's checking three magazines for sighted people.
Sighted folks, yeah.
And reading them himself or having someone read them on, and then making CD copies of.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. It'd be nice if he had them in uploaded them somewhere on the internet and had them as a downloadable MP3.
That'd be even better.
So you could have a choice of getting them either on CD or downloading them. But I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I could download my new 2-gig MUVO.
Oh, you could. It'd be perfect for that, man.
It would be.
I'm going to have to have one of those.
As a podcast, you are. I figured
just
you would.
I have to have one.
I figured you would. But that's a great thing. We need to get hold of this guy and have him maybe we can write him something. Well, you got his email address somewhere.
I don't know. Well, we just have the information that came across the list. But I'll search it and see if I can find it.
We can harvest that off the list. You don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure who sent this to the list. So that's the thing. Someone forwarded it from somewhere. So,
well, that'd be a nice thing. If it doesn't work out, be sure and let us know if it's a phony deal. But it doesn't sound like it is to me. If it happens to be a bad thing, be sure and let us know so we won't announce it anymore.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
One thing you don't want to do is get hosed by your washing machine.
Oh, that's right. I don't.
And I have a little article here on that.
Okay. Well, we're happy about it.
As wonderful as a washing machine is when it comes to saving time and effort, it can also be a troublesome member of the household. Washing machines are responsible for more than $150 million of damages in homes across the United States every year. Imagine hundreds of gallons of water flowing from your laundry room, pouring overflowing, soaking your furniture and prized collectibles.
I don't want to hear
it.
It happens because washing machine hoses are the one of least maintained items in a home.
Yeah, the weak link, huh?
That would be.
Last year, now, State Farm alone paid more than $7,500. Water damage claims from broken washing machine hoses.
Man.
These claims range from a few hundred dollars to more than $100,000. There are steps you can and should take routinely to ensure such problems do not happen to you. If you have a washing machine, you need to check the water inlet or water fill hoses at least once a year. Not checking them is like not checking the oil in your car. Nothing seems to be amiss until your life flashes in front of you as you see your sofa flooding down the front walkway.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the hoses.
All right.
There are two of them. They connect the machine to the cold and hot water faucets.
They do.
You cannot tell by simply looking at these hoses if they need to be replaced. Age, chemicals in the water, and buildup of calcium deposits over time can degrade rubber. And to complicate matters further, even a new hose could be worn, having lived a good deal of its life in a warehouse. So you can't tell by simply looking. If you do see a small blister in the rubber of the hose, assume that it is a disaster just waiting to happen.
Boy, I would assume that.
Because it is. Yeah,
that's right. If the rubber feels brittle or shows any signs of cracking, replace it immediately. Or if you cannot remember replacing your water inlet hoses, put that on your list for next weekend.
Yeah.
Then do it again in 3 years. Most manufacturers and all insurance companies recommend replacing the hoses every 3 to 5 years. You cannot be too cautious. There are two types of hoses available. Rubber hoses for about $5 each or braided. Stainless steel hoses for about $15 each. While stainless steel hoses with twisted, flexible mesh of stainless steel wire appear to have the edge when it comes to performance, they're not foolproof. The connectors can break loose and the rubber interior of the metal hose can deteriorate. Installing new hoses is not as difficult. It's like attaching a garden hose, but beware, installation error is the biggest cause for premature hose failure. Sharp kinks or bends in the hose can weaken the hose itself or the seal at the connector. And to prevent this, you need to allow 3 to 4 inches between the back of the washing machine and the wall.
Yeah.
If you have a tight installation, such as an old shallow laundry closet, there are hoses available that have right angle connectors allowing the machines to be placed closer to the wall. You may have to special order this unusual item. Yeah. And that's all I got to say about that.
Well, you know, that may be what's wrong with me is a worn-out hose. That could be it.
Yeah.
But if you see a blister on it, you better get rid of it. I've never had that happen, but I've thought a lot about it.
Yeah, it's a good article.
Of course, my washer's in the garage, and
so
yours, yours is in the house, so, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't need that to happen. But your deal wouldn't be too bad. Yours would just straight on out on the driveway.
It would. Tom's is in that. Yours is in the house.
Oh, God, I would be in trouble.
I tell you, you never hear folks saying, well, you know, I changed my washer hoses last weekend. You know, you just never hear that.
But I guess not.
We probably should.
I was living in a rent house over on Betty Street, and I was talking to Phil on the phone when I had the hot water hose pop on an automatic washer.
Yeah.
Really?
And, I like to burnt my arm up trying to turn that off.
She went, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, I had a big cleanup to do.
It happened over at Live Oak, John Henry's one time.
Wow.
But I've never never happened to me. Of course, my washer turned out. The ones that are in the garage, The booth was going to be, they were going to put them in the house that where my computer is where they were going to go.
Yeah,
originally. Room there.
But well, I would say how many years it's probably time for you, if your washer's been around a while, it's probably definitely time to look into making a change. But, I mean, if they made it this long.
I'm going to check mine out. Let's see, I've had that mobile home out there, since 98, November
98.
So it's time to... I probably ought to replace
it. Oh, man, it could be a disaster there now.
Late hoses.
With the wood floors and all, it would be a disaster.
That would be horrible.
Man,
yeah, it would.
It's hard to believe. Has it been 8 years since all that went down, since you moved out there? And Don moved to North. Have you lived at North Street 8 years, Show?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's see.
Man.
It was 98 when all that took place.
November 98,
around, so.
Right.
Rained all weekend. We were having, we were doing what we call blind weekend, where we had these guys down from Dallas, John Bennett and John Conley were down here from Dallas. And both Tom and Don were both moving. And we thought, well, this will be cool because we'll have lots of help. Well, it rained all weekend. It was just miserable.
It was. Awful moving weekend.
What time do we have? Are we looking?
It's time for break. And
is it time to break?
For our guest.
And then we're going to talk to Max
Robinson.
We will.
Max Robinson, one of our very favorite people that we never would have met had we not started doing this thing. We're going to play a little interlude of music, and then we'll get Max on the phone and be right back. Stay tuned for this musical interlude. catch him before they start another tune. Hello there. Hey, we are back. Let me get this in the middle. Tom Houston and Don Shaw and Phil Parr, along with Max Robinson. Yeah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Phil?
We're good. We're under. Have you bought your ticket?
No.
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 Did you get my email?
I got.
I'm well, let's talk about that on email.
I got your email. Did you get mine? I sent you Tim's flight thing.
Oh no, I haven't checked my email yet today.
Okay, well check it.
Uh-huh.
And he'll. He's not coming in at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's out.
Oh, that's good.
That's really good, isn't it? So
yeah.
I forget what time. I think about 1:30.
Oh, that's much better.
So that's perfect.
That makes things much better, doesn't it, huh?
Yeah. I don't have to get up in the middle of the night.
Well, yeah. we don't want you to have to do that. God forbid that you had to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you? You sound good.
Yeah, well, I had a cold earlier in the winter. You know, Sue and I both had colds. You know how it is when you're married. You share everything.
Oh, you do.
Including the germs. And so we got over them, and we're getting better.
Getting better.
Getting better.
Surviving.
That is good. Now, you're in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Is that right?
That's right.
That is right. Max is a... Max has a degree in physics and taught at a little college up there for many, many years, 30-something years, right?
33 years. Actually, the degree was in electrical engineering.
Oh.
With a minor in astronomy. I was doing radio astronomy in graduate school. And so that sort of translated into physics up here, so at Western.
A blind guy with a degree in astronomy. That's,
right.
What a deal.
Hey, what a deal.
What a deal. And you taught at this little college for 35 years.
Western Kentucky University. It's not that little anymore.
Is that right?
The president has some pretty good delusions of grandeur. He's moved us into 1A football.
Ball. Oh, really?
Yeah, where we're going to get our behinds whipped.
They've always had a good basketball
quite a few
team
years.
Up there.
Oh, yeah, we've been in 1A basketball for quite a few years.
Now, is this a four-year college?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you were a tenured professor there at one time, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, I was a tenured professor at I was there for 33 years, and I retired in 2001, and now I'm fat and happy.
And your level of vision is what now?
2800.
So that ain't much.
That isn't a whole lot, no. But I managed to do a lot with it because in the past I had some really good luck with doctors who knew how to do low vision.
Yeah.
And fixed me up with some magnifying glasses.
Yeah, good magnifiers and things.
That really worked. You know, they really, I still have them. They're irreplaceable. I still have them. And I just got a CCTV. And
all right.
So.
Oh, is that right? This is your first CCTV?
Yeah, well, I finally found one that I could work under because it's an autofocus, and it'll focus at various distances.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to use it for doing electrical things.
Yeah, I want
things.
Solder underneath it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
So it sits high up off your work. In other words, have room to work under it.
And the camera actually comes off of the base, and you can put it wherever you want it.
Oh, man, yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be. So that's kind of opened up a new world for you.
It has.
You can see things. Well, you do well with what sites you have. I've been around you a couple of times, and you get around quite well.
Well, as you say, I do the best with what I've got.
That's what we're all trying to do. All right, I didn't do the pre-show interview when you were in the green room.
Yeah.
So, I didn't do that, so I don't know what you want to talk about, but you can tell me. I'm right here.
Well, I'm not really sure what you want to talk about.
Whatever. We want to talk about what you're doing. Whatever.
An oven and a range top. We got a new oven and a range top. We got a new water heater.
Really?
And not a hot water heater, but a water heater.
Now, what are you talking about?
Somebody called Tom on that. Was it Tom? He used to call it a hot water heater, and somebody said, if the water's hot, why do you need to heat it?
That was me, in fact. And that's what somebody...
Somebody got you on that one.
They did. That was pretty good.
I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, I like that. That was good.
But anyhow, so my adventure with the range top was kind of interesting because the old ones were, original equipment with the house.
Right.
And this house was built sometime around probably 1962 or 63. So It's a fairly old house, you know, even though it's modern, you know, wire plugs and all that, but it's still fairly old of the modern houses. And so the oven, I had been repairing both the oven and the range top for many years, replacing parts, you know, keeping them going. And finally we decided, well, we just want to get new stuff. So we did. Yeah. And, of course, the wiring, the conduit wouldn't fit.
Yeah. That figures.
You have a box, and naturally it's in the cabinets, you know, way back. You have to crawl in the cabinets to work on it.
So, familiar.
The box has a conduit connector on it.
Yep.
It was that the conduit clamps in, but it was the old conduit was really was smaller than what was on the new stuff, so I had to get new conduit clamps, and I didn't really know what to get at first, but I found out the hard way. I measured the conduit, and it was 7/8 of an inch in diameter. So I went to the hardware store, and the conduit clamps were called 3/4 and 1 1/4, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, it's not going to fit the 3/4, so I tried getting the 1 1/4, and that was, it just went right through it. That was too big. So I decided, well, I'll see what the 3/4 will do. So I got one of those. Sure enough, that fit, but then it wouldn't fit the knockout in the box.
Ah, that could be a problem.
3/4 is the knockout size.
Yeah.
I found out. So I had to buy all new boxes.
Man.
And and new Romex connectors to clamp the wires in.
Right.
And just, you know, new stuff all the way around. So, well, so that's what I did. And once I got past that, why, then it was just a matter of wiring things in and putting them all together with wire nuts.
But the knockout box was up under the box was up under the cabinet, right?
Yeah, it's actually it was inside the in behind the closed doors, you know.
Yeah.
And so I had to crawl in there and
it's hard to get
uncomfortable
to...
position.
Oh yeah. Really?
Why did you care whether the conduit tripped the knockout or not?
Yeah, I like to do things right.
Oh, well,
when I can.
Just like my daddy.
I'll do them according to code when I can. I mean, I could have just run the wires into the old box and left the conduit hanging, but...
Well, I wouldn't have done that. I'd have bought new conduit, but I wouldn't have worried about the... You know, you could have put some...
Well, the conduit came with the oven and the range top. It was attached to it. You know,
yeah.
The wires that come out.
Right.
And it was probably a flex piece of conduit.
Yeah, that's what it was, flex conduit. Like a gooseneck lamp, kind
of. Yeah, and it wouldn't go in the hole of the box, in the box.
No, not in the old one.
Max, I did exactly the same thing. It hadn't been a year ago. We had to replace the oven. I was lucky. I guess the house was new enough where the conduit pipe that came with the oven fit in my box.
Oh.
But I tell you, I had a hell of a time. You know, that wiring is so heavy. You know, the house wiring I'm talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the problem I had is, and it wasn't wiring the oven to the wiring that all went good. But the problem I had was cramming all that wire back into the small junction box and getting the cover back on. Now it was a deal.
Well, by replacing the boxes, I could mount them in different places. So I mounted them so I had. I could, you know, pull some of that wire out and not have all that try to cram into the box.
You were lucky because that's the problem I had because it was way back at the back of the cabinet like you're talking about. And I could just my arms were just barely long enough to reach the junction box to start with. So, yeah, it was a problem.
Now, this is the oven that Patterson and I changed.
The very same
replaced.
One. Yep.
You know, I don't mean to change the subject. Houston, let me ask you this. What happened to I had a wine cooler and it's gone.
Where'd you go, Phil?
He's looking.
You just
looking
put
for
it in
something.
A garbage can. It was an empty bottle.
Well, I brought another one.
Oh, you did?
Somewhere.
I've fallen over
behind the intercom.
You see it? Over
nothing like live radio.
Yeah.
I lost my drink.
Live on tape.
Yeah. Hell of a thing.
There you go.
I've like a T-shirt I've got that says, I've fallen and I can't reach my beer.
That's
right. Well, I actually had to crawl into the cabinet and put my head in the cabinet. My head and shoulders in the cabinet to be able to reach it. I couldn't. My arms weren't quite long enough.
I understand. Man, it's a difficult thing to reach some of those.
Because you wanted to be able to see it.
Well, I couldn't really see it because it was dark in there. Well, I did take some light in there, but still, I just couldn't reach it comfortably
I did it by feel.
My head and shoulders in there,
yeah.
too.
I did, yeah, I know. It sounded like we had the same kind of situation.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it, and it's way back there on the wall. So you move the box, though.
Yeah.
To where?
I just turned it 90 degrees and put it in a little different place because the cable on the new oven wasn't quite long enough to reach where the old one was.
Uh-huh.
And it was just more comfortable to do it that way.
Yeah.
But I did.
So I was lucky there because the old oven that was in there barely, now Phil may remember this, but the cable and the conduit
it
that
barely reached.
But the new one had actually a longer conduit on it, a longer wire.
You had the opposite situation.
Yeah, so I was lucky there.
Yeah, putting that one in, the one that Don Patterson and I put in, I didn't think we were going to, I thought I was going to have to go buy a piece of wire. Or come to the house because we had the oven was over there, and I thought this will be a simple thing to do. We just take the old one out, put the new one in. But man, you know what it is.
Oh, and we had to do some wood cutting too to make the oven fit.
Oh man,
I measured everything carefully, and everything looked like it was going to fit. The range top just dropped right into place. No problem. But the oven was just about a quarter of an inch taller than the opening.
Oh,
luckily, the cavity back behind was taller. There was just a little piece of wood facing on there. So I just took the reciprocating saw, big saw, and just chopped that off. And then the oven fit in. And it didn't matter if it was a really good-looking line or not because the oven covers it all up, you know.
Yeah, there's a little lip around the edge of the oven that's going to cover it. But now this new range top you bought, you dropped it right in the hole where the other one went.
Mm-hmm.
And it just plugged up.
It didn't plug in. I had to connect it too with wire nuts.
Okay.
And get a new box, you know. So it was the same story as the other.
Yeah. Now, is it the kind of range top is it one of those flat range tops that has,
No. We looked at those and Sue, even though she can see, she wanted conventional burners. She didn't want one of those flat top things. So they have, it's probably the last model they have with conventional burners. It's a Sears.
Yeah,
probably.
And, she wanted that kind, and so that's what we got. So that was fine with me. You know.
Surely there'll always be somebody who makes conventional burners, won't there?
Well, Sears is very good about parts. I imagine we'll always be able to get parts for it. But I imagine that they'll probably discontinue those in the next few years.
Yeah, everybody seems to like the flat tops, don't they?
Yeah, they seem to.
Well,
a lot of people like them.
But you can't use aluminum pans on them.
Is that right?
No.
I didn't know that.
You can't use aluminum pans on them. Or the one that they just remodeled. My father-in-law just got married. Luann's daddy just remarried. And, of course, she wanted to remodel the house. She didn't want the same old house. She wanted everything redone. Mm. And they redid, and they got one of these. I mean, it's a range, and it's just flat on top. You can't feel where the burners are. No way, you know.
Not real
blind. Is that one of those that uses induction heating?
It does.
That's the one that uses
induction. Okay, that's why you can't use aluminum pans.
Then you can't
use it. Now, the ones we looked at, they didn't use induction heating. They just got hot.
Okay, they were just a circle that got hot.
Yeah.
But the induction, I've heard that. They don't get hot.
This was an induction deal.
It uses frequencies below the AM broadcast band.
Really?
To induce currents in the pots. So you have to use, steel.
It has to be stainless steel.
Yeah. Because the aluminum has the wrong kind of conductivity for it.
Which is fine if you have stainless steel cookware.
Well, we took a pot over there that I thought was stainless steel. On the bottom, but it wouldn't work. But they do make them that just are a circle that gets hot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
But then again, that wouldn't be real blind. If you had no eyesight, that's not going to be the most blind-friendly thing in the world.
It'd be terrible.
You'd have to
mark it. Yeah, it would be hard to locate without getting a few scorched fingers, I think.
Really?
So we got regular burners anyway, so.
Just regular?
Yeah, regular coil burner.
I think she wanted it so that I could cook sometime.
Probably, yeah.
Well, yeah, because mine's 15 years old, and I was thinking about, eventually we're going to have to replace it, but I sure don't want one of those induction heat things.
I wouldn't get one of those.
Surely there's a blind-friendly way to mark one of the other type, even the flat burner, you would think.
I would think so, yeah, if you gave it some thought.
There should be a way to mark it.
Use some plastic tape or something.
Yeah, something to put outside of the circle.
Well, the plastic tape would get hot. Come on, guys.
You put it outside the circle.
Yeah,
I guess. Top.
I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine a day, of course, I guess guys say, I can't imagine a day when they won't make long play albums.
And they don't
make long play albums anymore.
That's true.
I can't imagine a day when they don't make a range that you just turn each burner off and on. It's got a, regular old burner like,
Yeah.
Well, my other big adventure was, I forgot to mention it, was replacing the furnace thermostat.
Your central heat thermostat?
Yeah, not the thermostat in the house. A gas furnace uses a thermostat on the blower. I don't know if everybody understands that or knows that or not. What they have is they have a thermostat near the heat exchanger where the hot gases from the burner go up. And when it gets above a certain temperature, then it turns on the blower, so you don't get a blast of cold air till all that gets hot.
Well, if it's a gas furnace, it waits till the fire heats up and gets going, and then it turns
the
blower.
Well, that's how it does it. It has a thermostat in there.
Yeah.
When the flame turns off, there's still a lot of hot air in that, a lot of heat stored in that heat exchanger because it's a pretty massive thing. It's cast iron. And so it'll blow warm air for a while, even after the burner shuts down. And so they keep the blower running for that time. And when it senses that it's cool, well, then it turns off the blower.
Yeah.
But what happened with mine was it was sticking on. The blower was staying on.
Okay.
And Sue kept saying the furnace is blowing cold air.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I checked it and I thought, well, maybe it's just started or just turning off, but it just kept on and kept on and kept on.
Uh-huh.
So I crawled under the house, which is not a happy experience.
Under the house. Man.
It's under the house, yeah. About a 30-inch crawl space.
I hate it.
Not even that high, about a 2 foot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess it's maybe 30 inches. Anyway, it's not very comfortable, and I have to get down and do the crawl on the stomach to get under some pipes to get to the furnace.
To get to it.
Not good.
And so I took the old one out, and I wasn't even sure what it looked like. I had to trace the wires to find it, even. But I found it, and I took it out. It surprised me what it looked like. It's about a foot long.
Really?
Yeah, and I took it into a furnace place, took it to a couple of them, and finally the first one said, we don't have furnace parts. The second place said, we got one of those. And they looked and said, well, no, we don't seem to have one. So I went to another place, and they said, we got one. And I thought, I was afraid, because the thing was so old.
Yeah, that it wouldn't be able to.
That it wouldn't have it. But one of the guys said, we sold two of them already this month. It was in December when I did that. And so it has another feature that if it gets too hot, it shuts off the power to the gas valve. So there are four wires coming to it.
Okay.
So you have to get those right.
Shuts off the gas valve. How does it do that?
It just if it gets above 200 degrees, which is where it's set, it just opens the circuit to the valve. You got an electric gas valve.
Yeah.
It just opens the circuit to the valve that goes through that and shuts it off.
So it
won't overheat.
And there's no way to get to this furnace from the top side.
Nope. It's under the house.
Wow.
It was. I'm sure it was put in there before they even put down the floor joist.
Yeah, I guess so. But, man, what a deal. I might cut a trap door.
Trap door.
What room's it under?
Kitchen.
It's under the kitchen.
It's under the kitchen and the laundry room.
It's just sitting under the house on a concrete slab.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like that.
The furnace and the air conditioner are both under there, and it's all one unit, one big unit, heating and cooling.
Really? Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, surely they put that in before they laid the floor, because how would they have got it in there?
That's right. Yeah, I'm sure they did.
And if you have to replace it, what are you going to do?
Well, they make units that where everything is outside and all I have to run under your house are ducts.
Yep.
That's
what I'm
going
to have to do if I ever have to replace it. That's what I have to put in. The old one will just stay under there.
Anyway, this guy had what you needed, and you took it and put it in.
Uh-huh.
And it works like a top.
And it works just fine. I got it connected up right, first try.
Yeah.
And so now the furnace is happy, and Sue's happy, and I'm happy.
And the furnace is no longer... You know, that's the problem with being the handyman, is they always come to you and say, hey, the furnace is blowing cold air.
Yeah.
Like it's your fault.
Yeah. And how about the hot water heater deal, Max? Did your water just not... that is a good point, but did your heater just quit heating or what?
No, it was getting... I think it was getting full of sand. I'd never been able to clean it out. I tried cleaning it out, and the valve would just give a little trickle.
Hmm.
Okay.
And so it just built up over the years, and I guess it was probably half full of sand.
Wow.
And the capacity was down. It did have a big capacity anyway. It was only 30 gallons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, if Sue did the wash, and then I'd get up and take a shower, and I'd get cold partway through.
Yeah. So how did you drain it with all the sand in it?
Well, it wasn't easy.
I bet it wasn't easy.
I had a friend come and help me, and he brought his air compressor. He was all prepared for this kind of thing because apparently he's done it before.
Uh-huh.
He had an adapter with pipe threads and a tire valve on it.
Uh-huh.
And he screwed that in. You know, he unscrewed the water, would be the water outlet.
At the bottom of the water heater?
At the top. It takes the water. It takes the water out from the top.
Okay. I got your point.
The outlet pipe.
All right.
And put this little valve on there and then compress the water. And then we attached the drain. We attached a hose to the drain valve on the bottom.
Yep.
And it even with compressed air behind it, it was really slow running.
You put a cap on the other the intake valve.
Actually, we just left it attached to the water system.
Okay.
We had the water shut off, of course.
And turned it off right above the hot water heater.
Yeah, there was a turn-off valve right there that we had put in the last time we replaced it.
And he pumped air, and it eventually blew sand and air and everything out.
Yeah, it took about 2 hours to drain it.
I bet it did.
Yeah, because lifting it full of water was out of the question.
Oh, yeah, that was out of the question.
Sand, and, man, how would
so
you...
We got it drained, and the one I bought is a 50-gallon... and it's computer controlled, you know. It's one of these. It's called Energy Smart. And an interesting thing. We put the water heater out by the road where they pick up the garbage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And before the garbage men got there, some people came by with a pickup truck and said, "Can we have that water heater?"
Yeah.
They hauled it away in their pickup truck. I don't know what they did with it.
Well, I know exactly what they did with it.
What'd they do with it?
They made a barbecue pit out of it.
Oh, really?
They cut it in two and made a barbecue pit out of it.
Use the tank.
I don't know if they do that up here or not. I'm sure they do that in Texas.
Yeah, they use the tank and cut it in two and made a barbecue pit. Hinged it on one side. Yeah. We do everything in Texas. Everything bigger and better in Texas.
Yeah.
When we turned on the new, you know, connected up the new one and turned it on, uh-huh. Didn't have any leaks. Everything was fine.
Uh-huh.
And somebody on the handyman list had suggested replacing the drain valve with a ball valve. Do you remember reading that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And so now I'll be able to clean this one out.
Oh, yeah.
The ball valve opens.
Right.
Opens up. It's almost a straight pipe through when you open it up.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good. Yeah, with you having the sand problem, and you must have a sand problem in your area.
Oh, yeah, it's
bad. I just did a hot water heater last week and drained it, and of course we have soft water here and no sand, but it just and it drained out in about. It still took about 30 minutes, I guess, to drain it, but. You know,
I can keep this one cleaned out now anyway.
Yeah, you can.
We'll keep it good.
Yeah.
So replace the valve on the bottom before you start
before
using
it. Before you even fill it with water. We did that, yeah. We took the old one out.
And put a ball valve on it so that the sand will go through that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See, I've replaced several hot water heaters, but I've never seen one full of sand.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I guess we just don't have that
I guess you don't have that problem in your area.
I suppose that's true. Well, it's been interesting. Shaw just replaced his hot water heater and washer.
Yeah, Saturday, in fact.
Saturday.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of that going around.
Well, better this time of year than in, you know, the 100-degree summer, though.
That's true.
I suppose.
That's the thought.
If you have to take cold showers, it's better to take them in the summer than in the winter.
Well, I guess
it would
be.
That's true, too.
I could cold shower to kill me. I wouldn't. Listen, get on Travelocity and make those reservations.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Reservation.
I sent you Tim's flight. Tim's flight information, so you can coordinate around his, and we'll get Conley to coordinate around both of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And look forward to it, sir, very much.
All righty.
I think it's
see you in March.
I think it's going to be a big time. We'll see you in March.
Okay.
Thank you, Max. Our guest, Max Robinson from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And, what a guy. He's done all kinds of things. Max is 67.
Yep.
I'm 66, and Max just turned. I think just had a birthday, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty recently had a birthday, turned 67. I might have called a plumber. I would have called a plumber. I'm old and lazy.
No might to it.
I used to do those sorts of things, but I would have called a plumber. What are we going to talk about after the break? Patterson's not here. Let's do a musical interlude, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of The Blind Handyman. Replacing those hot water heaters. I'm glad mine hadn't got. I called a guy last time. I went out. And they had to, it was really funny because I don't know how they got it in there because they had to take the closet apart to get it out and then put the new one in, you know.
Yours isn't really easy to get to here.
It's hard. It's in a closet, but the water heater won't fit through the door.
Man, the good design there.
Yeah, that's my friend Robert Todd. Maybe it's why I haven't seen him in 7 years.
Probably.
Was Max's hot water heater gas or electric?
You know, we didn't ask him that question, did we?
Get him back. Get him, call him on the phone.
Yeah.
let's don't call him on the phone. But anyway, a 67-year-old, I would have, he's a brave man. And it isn't because he can't afford it. He could have called somebody.
He
just likes to do things. But Max has been less abusive to his body than some of us.
Oh, he's in good shape.
Like you and me.
He's in good shape.
I pointed to Houston. Yeah.
I'm in good shape.
Yeah, I know. Shaw hadn't been too hard on his body other than smoking a few cigarettes.
Yeah, smoking them cigarettes, but other than that.
Well, now, I replaced a hot water heater in 2006, but I bought it at McCoy's, and there was a guy that worked there at McCoy's that kind of moonlighted.
Just danced out there and did it.
And I paid him to put it in. I didn't do it. Heck no.
2006, so you got 7 years out of that water heater.
I did indeed, yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah, you did have to do one here.
I'd forgotten that.
I did.
I'd forgotten about that.
So there's three that we know about right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd forgotten that. Well, you know, if you get 10 years out of a water heater, you're lucky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they just, you know, they start leaking. They just rot out. But that's what that guy did. Somebody cut that in two, took the outer liner off, and used the tank part and cut it in two.
Inside tank, yeah.
And made him, because the outer liner is not the actual water heater. The outer liner, and then there's insulation, and then there's a metal cast iron, I guess it's cast iron, maybe aluminum.
Yeah, nowadays it may be.
Tank inside that. It's well insulated, because if it wasn't, you walked up to the hot water heater and it's heating, you'd burn, you know.
Oh, yeah, well insulated. And, in fact, that's what's strange in these new hot water heaters, and I know from just seeing this new hot water heater last week, they have put, and I think it's kind of a strange deal, but they put rubber type baffles now in the outlet and inlet both of the hot water heater.
Oh,
which is mostly supposed to be more energy efficient and keep the heat in the hot water heater.
Oh.
But like my wife's brother and me have talked about it, just if you've ever seen gaskets after they've been around, rubber gaskets that's been around water for a few years, they kind of like disintegrate.
They do. They look bad.
It'll just be a question after a few years. Who knows what'll happen. With the baffles.
You get 18 years out of it and then put it out by the curb.
Yeah, it's time for a new one anyway.
It's something you're going to have to do. But, you know, I just can't imagine the day when they won't. Of course, there'd be a lot of people, you know. I just can't. You think he's right? You think they'll stop making ranges?
I think so.
That we can use?
Because last time we were at Sears also, I noticed that most everything you see now is flat top. And you just don't see the.
You know, I may get her to look on the internet. Because if they're going to quit making them, I need to replace mine now.
I think now would be the time to probably buy one. Even if you put it up, just kept it in the garage for a few years, now would probably be the time to buy one.
Yeah.
While you still can.
And, you know, you say that they'll always make things. They don't make 40,000 albums anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Max had a good point, too.
Model T Ford.
Mark it with tape and everything outside the heating.
Oh, that's implausible, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how you...
They say they don't get hot outside of the circle. That's supposed to be one of the advantages to these new ones. They say that the stovetop will be cool.
Yeah.
So, that's one of the big pluses.
Well, if the stovetop will be cool, then you could buy some sort of a sticky circle to go around the burner.
That's what you'd have to do. Something to put around the...
Seems like to me that if the surface was going to be cool outside the burner, you could feel it.
Yeah, and you would only get burned if you touched the burner.
That's right. You would be outside the burner, and you'd come closer, and you would feel that heat.
I have never really seen one in anyone's house to really experiment with.
The only one I've seen is this induction one, and I did not fool with it at all. It had a bunch of buttons on it, it had a panel, seems like, with little bumps on it, you know, like they do now.
Yeah.
That would be almost impossible for a blind person to operate. We may have to do some thinking about that, because that's going to be a problem for blind people.
But yeah, that's the big plus. The outside of the circle is supposed to stay cool. And if you had some sighted help to mark it, I mean, it might. I don't know. I'd like to look at one and just see.
So, in other words, the only heat you get is heat you get through the pot,
or on the inside of the circle. At least if you don't have the heat induction one.
Yeah.
Just the inside of the circle, they say, is all that gets hot.
Okay, is it an electric resistance burner like we're used to?
I suppose so.
Well, I don't see how the rest of it could keep from getting hot.
I don't either. But
I don't know
how it could be insulated to keep it from.
I don't either, but we'll obviously we don't know a thing, do we? Just nothing. Absolutely.
That's the problem with not knowing anyone really has got one.
I've never seen one other than this induction one of hers.
I know.
And it worked fine, but we took a big pot over there that I guess was copper bottom, a little copper work on them.
That scared me to death.
Shaw reached over and told me when to start the theme, scared the hell out of me. I thought so.
Yeah.
Jesus, holy, don't do that anymore. All right, I've done it. I started it.
It's time.
Man.
Yeah.
Boy, something had me. Anyway.
Down the tube.
We've done another. Maybe we can induce Pat into coming next week. If not, we'll call Dale Campbell.
Yeah, and then maybe we'll have a special guest next week to talk to us about some projects that she's done. You never know.
You think so?
Well, it just could happen.
Is she on the handyman list also?
Yeah, she is, in fact. And she's done a lot of home projects, painting, and just all kind of things. So she'll have something. You know, if she comes back, she'll have something to tell us about.
Yeah, we're talking about this lady that came to Lufkin to have her child.
Yeah, Sarah.
Yeah.
Oh, and okay. Yeah, she's just recently got a house ready to sell. So she did several.
Well, we'll just have her on. We'd love to have women on the show.
Yeah,
I love women any way they come. All right, we're leaving now. I think we've dispensed enough useful information to the masses. we're going to go. Thank you, Tom Houston and Don Shaw.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What would we do without you? We appreciate you coming and doing this little show with us. Maybe Pat will be back next week. If not, we'll call Dale Campbell.
There you go.
I'm Phil Parr, speaking for these guys, saying, I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.